Well, this morning we have an amazing opportunity to receive the word from actually a good friend of mine, Pastor Wes Dunn. Him and his wife, Vanessa, pastor a church down in Los Angeles, and they have two beautiful kids, one of which is here today. But we've known Pastor Wes for quite some time. It's been probably 18 years now, and time flies. But Pastor Wes was actually the first youth pastor here at Harbor City Church. And he encouraged both me and my wife. He says encouraged. I say he tricked us into starting a youth ministry here. But it was great. We had a lot of fun. There was a lot of times of just good, clean, sweaty youth ministry time here in this building, playing basketball and whatnot. It was a lot of fun. And I'm just so honored to have him here today. He's one of the best communicators I know as well. So I know you're going to be blessed. Also, I didn't mention this last service, but Pastor Wes is also one of my outside elders that helps bring just wisdom and guidance when I'm like, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. How are you doing it? What's God saying to you? So he's also just a man of great wisdom. So I'm so blessed to have him here, and you guys are blessed to have him here this morning. So if you could just welcome him as he comes to share the word this morning.
Hey, honored to be with you this morning. Thank you, Alex. Hey, before we jump in, I'll do some quick reminiscing, then we're going to pray together, if that's okay. So I got my son, Winston. Winston, can you wave at everybody? This is our first. And then we got our daughter, Stella. She's 8. She's amazing. But Winston, this is his very first ever ministry trip that he's gone on. And so when your pastor reached out to me a couple months ago, I told my wife, I was like, hey, I think I'm supposed to bring Winston on this trip. And I feel like we're supposed to, like, God wants to show him some things here, because this is where, for Vanessa and I, we were, I told Winston this yesterday, I said, hey, we were leaders at our church in Seattle, but when Pastors Doug and Lois planted this church, it was the first time we really got to, like, make decisions and really get our feet wet. And I was like, I think this is going to be really special for you. So he walked in the building today. And by the way, so we planted our church in Los Angeles. I feel like we have, like, so many different iterations of our church. It's like a bit PTSD because, like, we started and we got a year in, and then COVID happened in LA like nothing else. And then they shut down our building and it was wild. And then we were homeless for 3 years. And you had to be really committed to be a part of our church at that time, because people were like, where do you guys meet? I was like, dude, you better follow us on social, because otherwise you're not going to find out where we're going to meet next. And then about 2 years ago, just this really cool miracle happened, and we have a permanent building now. And so that's really awesome. But really, like, when people ask you, how long have you guys had your church? Like, well, kind of 2 dates. We've had it for 6 years, but also it's about 2 years old. And so we got this incredible miracle property in Los Angeles. And don't say anything bad about LA, okay? Because God's doing a great work in LA. People are getting saved right now. One of our leaders is preaching at the service. We're doing baptisms mid-worship. So it's really, really powerful. God's doing a great thing in Southern California. But we have yet to remodel our bathrooms at our church. And so they're from the 60s. And so Winston walks in and he looked at the restroom and he goes, wow. He's like, Dad, can we do this at our church? It's like, it's a urinal and a sink, bud. It's like, that's so nice. And then he walked around the corner and they go, they have a cafe in their church? I'm like, yeah, man, this is really cool. When we walked in this room, he's like, wow, this is so cool. This is so amazing. I was like, hey, bud, when we first came here, the floors were orange. Was anyone here during those days, the orange floor days? Okay, you're amazing. You paid such a high price. See, people walk in now, they got the cool lights. There's fans in here. We had a basketball hoop on that wall with a tiger. It wasn't a fierce tiger. It was like a cuddly looking tiger. You're like, God's a roaring lion. And there's like a little on the wall, you know. But it was really special, and it was special times. And and I'll talk in a minute. I'm just talk through some, you know, finances and generosity and things like that. But when you get in on a good thing early, it pays just incredible dividends. It's like if you were to buy a house in a community that just, it kind of took off, you'd be like, wow, I'm so glad I got in there when I did. And that was one era of this church. And as I was praying for, I was like, Lord, will you just speak to me about Pastors Jimmy and Jessica in this new season as a church? And I felt like the Lord say this phrase, and he goes, a baton is being passed. And I was like, oh, that's kind of simple. But I'll tell you this, whenever the Lord speaks, it's not my job to judge it. I just want to be faithful. And so it's like, hey, whatever you say, I just want to do my best to echo it. And then I was reminded of this verse, and we're going to pray. And I'm going to pray for my dear friends, Jimmy and Jessica. Paul says this to a church in Rome that he helped plant. And he goes, Romans chapter 1 and verse 11, he says this, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. And that word impart there is actually, the Greek word means a change of ownership. Like a change of ownership. And I just felt like for you two is that it wasn't just like a change of like, all right, now you've got the keys and now you've got the office, but that there is a spiritual gift that has been passed to you, not from, you know, not, I'm not even talking about from Vanessa and I, but from Pastors Doug and Lois, that a spiritual gift has been passed to you guys and that you guys will now walk in that anointing and your own anointing as well. And so can we do this? Can we just stretch our hands towards your pastors, Jimmy and Jess? Lord, thank you, God, for Pastors Jimmy and Jessica. Thank you that your anointing resides on them and they have received an unction from the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God, that an impartation from heaven is on them. And God, thank you that the best days of this church are not behind, they're ahead. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Come on, amen. Thank you, Alex. I want to mention this now before I forget. At the end of the service, in your cool cafe that you have, in our church, we just got pour over coffee, if you guys know where that is. And it's a big deal for us. Like, it's like, hey, we have a pour over station. And then my son walked in and says, they have a full on espresso machine, Dad. It's like, but I will be over there after service. I'm going to do my best. I didn't even get through probably half of it in the first service, but I wrote a book called Roadmap to Your Financial Freedom. And some of the background in this is about 11 years ago when we moved back to California. We were in Los Angeles. I started actually working for Wells Fargo Advisors in Beverly Hills. So it was one of the largest teams, top floor of this building. It was really odd for me because I'm like, you know, I'm sitting in these board meetings and we're talking about private equity in Europe and gas and oil pipelines and all this stuff. And I'm like looking around the room like, I do not belong here. Like, yeah, I speak in tongues. That's literally what I said. Like, I speak in tongues. Like, I'm one of those weird Pentecostals. And we're talking about oil and gas pipelines and millions of dollars and 7 years and all. And I'm like, hey, guys, this is wild. But it really introduced me to a brand new world. And that became a massive blessing for Vanessa and I. And so I moved on from that team. And I'm a part of a company called Raymond James. And so after meeting with people, just feel like I've said the same thing 1,000 times. I was driving home one day. And I was like, Vanessa, I'm just going to write this down. I feel like I said the same story 1,000 times over. And I kept sending clients towards this particular product that I still really believe in, for financial education. But it didn't quite speak their language. And it was kind of using an older archaic language. So I was like, hey, I'm not even going to read that anymore. I'm just, Holy Spirit, will you help me write this? And I forgot to tell, I don't know if I told you guys this, Jimmy. I definitely didn't tell the first service. But after I wrote it, I ended up partnering with a fintech company out of Palo Alto. And they're like, hey, we want to buy your material. And I was like, okay, let's talk, you know. And so they bought the rights to put it on video. And so now there's about 1,000 churches and organizations that are now going through the video content of this as well. So, and we're in talks now of expanding it to doing something for kids and youth as well. Because I've got some wealthy business friends and they're like, hey, this is helpful for me, but I need to help my kid. like, someone help my kid, help this make sense. And I was like, well, I think the book is pretty, you know, youth friendly, but they're like, no, we need like a special material just for youth. And so that's something that's probably another year out or so. But anyway, so if you want that, I will be over in that area. And we're actually going to give away, almost forgot, we're going to give away, Pastor Jimmy is going to give away two via my son Winston. And so how about this? I want to give one of these away to someone. You just bought a house. Did anyone just buy a house? You guys just bought a house? Congratulations. Okay. So let's give one to them back there. Congrats. Yeah, in the very, very back, red shirt, cool goatee on the dude. Okay. And then how about this? A high schooler, and you're interested in the topic of money, and you're like, hey, I want to grow in that. Any high school student? Oh, right next to him. Boom. Winston, right there. That was easy. There you go. So there we go. Money is interesting, especially talking, you know, sometimes I can, let me ask you this. How many of you guys are somewhat new to this church, like a year or less to this church? How many of you guys are just checking the spot out, okay? I just want to put you at ease right now. It's not going to get weird, okay? Sometimes when you talk about, like, money in church, people are like, oh, can we talk about something, like, less crazy, like, you know, sex or politics, you know? Because it's like, just, you know, it's like people are like, just tell me about prayer and Jesus and stuff like that. But the thing that's interesting is because I work in both worlds, and both in finance and we lead a church, every, just like in your church, you guys have prayer requests. Sorry, I noticed that there's not a timer, so I'll just keep talking. And so you guys better make sure that someone help me out there. The number one prayer request that comes into our church, the number one prayer request is for finances. The number one prayer request. Number two is usually relational, like some sort of family, things like that. Number one prayer request is for finances. And so there's this thing of when it comes to people in finances, when they take gospel and God and money and they put them together, they usually come down to one of two theologies. And one of the theologies is God is simply my shield to protect me from money. God's protect me from the evils of money, right? And so God protects me from the evils of money. And on the other extreme is God is my bridge to help me get money. It's like, all right, hey, I just, God, I'm here for you, but really just I need you to help me get there. So one runs from money, one runs to money, and both of them are wrong. You're not supposed to run from or run to money. You're actually supposed to run to Jesus. And whatever happens along the way, then praise God. But I actually want to help you practically today. And so we're just going to at least get a bit of a primer on this when it comes to finances. Because when those prayer requests come through, and I'm a pastor, and I'm also, you know, I work in finance. But as a pastor, I'm like, oh, man, if some of this is, yes, you need a miracle. Some of this, you need wisdom. Some of this is actually the best thing I can do for you is not sit down and pray with you, but sit down and write a budget with you. Some of this is not like, hey, we can just, you know, anoint stuff with oil. I'm all for all that crazy stuff. Okay, let's anoint it with oil. Let's pray in tongues. Let's put on some good soaking worship. Let's do all of that. But I'm like, actually, you know what you need to do? You need to start planning your finances out. And so the same God who created the Garden of Eden also created the land where he says, and the gold of that land is good. You barely get into the story of creation before God is talking about the gold of that land is good. So let's do this. I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke 16, and we're going to talk about faith for generosity. Perfect. Thank you, guys. Man, we never had any of this stuff back in the early days. I mean, we didn't have chairs. I don't even think we had screens. I don't think we had a stage. People were sitting on rolling chairs. You guys got these comfy chairs. I was like, man, this is nice. You got a cool sound booth. You could probably fly a spaceship with that thing. All right, Luke 16. This is Jesus. He says this. Here's a lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. If you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in large ones. If you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? If you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? By the way, employees say this all the time. They're like, oh man, if I were in charge, here's what I would do. And it's like, hey, if you're not faithful at this level, why would God give you to the next level? If you don't give at this level, why would God entrust you with more? And it's like, well, if once I get to this level, that's when I'm going to really trust God with my giving. It's like, guess what? It doesn't get easier when you add zeros. It actually gets so much harder, okay? That's like saying, I'm not going to run a mile. I'm going to start with a marathon. It's like, okay, let's just start with some baby steps. Then he says this, no one can serve two masters. Come on, someone say no one. No. Come on, say it out loud. Say no one. No. No one can serve two masters. You will either hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Money is interesting because it can literally change your life. It can change your health. It can change your life. It can change your legacy. America, we are the most generous nation on the earth. We give more as, now I'm not talking about the government, I'm talking about you and me. We give more to global missions than any other country. We give more to nonprofits than any other country. 2023, we gave away $557 billion as citizens. The largest ever of record. 2024, the numbers aren't yet finalized, but we were on pace to pass the previous year from 557 to 567, an additional $10 billion. People are like, in this economy? Yes, in this economy. But we are also approaching another record. And that's this, it's passing $5 trillion in non-housing debt. What that means is that's not like a mortgage. That's like the treat yourself money. Like, you guys know what I'm talking about? Like, you know, latte. Well, it's been a tough week. Let me go buy something. You know, $5 trillion in that kind of a debt. So especially in the faith community, in the Jesus-loving community, people would say, I want to be generous. Man, I saw Pastor Jess up there talking about giving. I want to actually do that. Pastor Jimmy's talking about a pie auction. I want to buy a $500 pie and send a kid to camp. I want to do that. I just don't have the ability to do it. I'm not stingy, I'm just strapped. So when it comes to money, some people, they have the heart to give, they just don't have the ability to give. Here's top three sayings, and you guys are gonna help me. I'm gonna start the saying and then you're gonna help me finish it, okay? With this little ping and a pong, okay? So I'm gonna start the saying, and these are sayings that people think are in the Bible, but they are not in the Bible, okay? Do you guys know these? You know, people quote them. They talk them, grandma, your weird aunt. Everyone says them like their Bible. Why is it that people that don't ever read their Bible have the, like, they think that they've got the greatest spiritual advice? Let me tell you, I'm not a religious, I'm very spiritual, but let me tell you. And they would say something like this, God helps those who help themselves. Yeah, and they will tell you that is in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. One time I had a sibling. It was my older brother, stepbrother. And he goes, you know, Wes, God helps those who help themselves. And I looked at him and said, find that page in the Bible and I will eat that page. Number two, help me out with this. Cleanliness. See, I didn't even need to say anything else. You've heard that scripture, right? It's not in the Bible. Not in the Bible. How about this? Money is. See, I didn't have to say anything. I just said money. And it was like, is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. Close, yeah, right. This is what the Bible says. 1 Timothy 6:10. It's the love of money. It's the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil. Not the possession of, but the deep desire for. It's not having it. I've seen people who have money and money does not have them. I've also seen people who do not have any money at all and money definitely has them. Money is simply this. It's not good. It's not bad. There's this phrase called amoral. It's not good. It's not bad. It's simply this. It's a tool. Got my little Makita there. By the way, there is a rule that when you pick up a drill, you got to give it two little pop-pop. anyone's grilling today, you pick up those tongs, clack, clack. You got to do two clickety clacks. If I show up at your house this afternoon and you're barbecuing and you don't give me two clickety clacks, I'm leaving. We're going to Casamia. We're going to somewhere else. We're getting some tacos again. We're doing something else. You don't pick up those clickety clack. Or now we're cooking with gas. I got to hear something, okay? Money is simply this. It's a tool. And because it's a tool, it can be good or bad depending on whose hand it's in. So I don't watch scary movies. I'll just be very clear. I do not watch scary movies. If you do, that's why there's some prayer up front, okay? But I've heard that some of these drills show up in scary movies. But you know what you can also do with this drill? You can remodel a church. You can build an orphanage in another country. You can help someone out. You can bless your neighbor. Guess what? It's not the tool itself. It's whose hand is it in? The same goes for money. I've seen money in good people's hands and good stuff gets done. I've seen money and power in the wrong people's hands. And guess what? Wickedness and evil is done. It's not about the money. It's whose hands is it in? Look at your hands right now and be like, Jesus, bless these hands right now. Come on, bless my hands. So let's talk real quick about heart and ability. And if I don't finish, then you could stay for the third service or you can come talk to me in the lobby afterwards. Here's the deal. Heart and ability. The gap between your desire and your ability is these two things, knowledge and discipline. That's it, knowledge and discipline. The gap between, man, I really would like to X, Y, Z. I'd really like to give more. That's a safe one, okay? I'd really like to give more. Well, the gap between where you're giving at now, and your generosity level now, and your ability to do it at that level, it comes down to two things, knowledge and discipline. Knowledge is things like the mentors you have, the books you read, like this one, podcasts that you listen to, things like that. Knowledge is this. Knowledge is direction. If knowledge is a part of a car, knowledge is the steering wheel. Proverbs 13:20 says this, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. So if you walk with the wise, you're steering in the right direction. But a companion of fools, you're steering the wrong direction. It suffers harm. And the second one is discipline. Discipline is your day in, day out. It's your action steps. It's the things that you do day in, day out, whether you feel like it or not. And if it were a part of a car, it would be the gas pedal. It's your gas pedal. So here's a funny thing. Some people have knowledge, but they don't have any discipline. They know what to do, but they won't actually do it. Colleges are filled with these types of people. Oh, I know everything you got to do. Have you ever done it? No, I've never done it. And then social media today is filled with all kinds of people that are just all gas and no knowledge. I've seen people give tax advice and investment advice on there. I'm like, oh, don't do that. You're going to prison. Like, don't do that. Please don't do that. Like, it's so bad. Like, here's what you're going to do. You're going to wake up at 5 a.m. You're going to take an ice bath. I'm like, you already lost me. And then you're going to start an LLC. And that LLC is going to start another LLC. Then that one's going to borrow money from the bank. And then the afternoon, you buy the bank. And it's, I don't think you know how this works. So you need knowledge and discipline, but discipline requires faith. Investing requires faith. Giving, generosity, all of this, it requires faith. It requires vision. It demands that you risk. Hebrews 11:8, speaking of Abraham, says this, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and to go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Faith is going before you know for sure. It's when all you have is a word. It's like, all I have is a word from God. Some people say, well, Jesus, I'll trust you when you show me the plan. And anyone who served Jesus for any amount of time knows you trust him, and sometimes he tricks you. He says, take these steps. Now you're going to go down this way. And it's trusting in his character and not in the plan. Because when you're asking Jesus, Jesus, show me the whole plan, show me my future, and then I'll obey, what you're asking for is, hey, God, I will not trust you until I agree with you. That is not faith. Faith is trusting before you see. Faith is seeing without seeing. It's like, hey, I trust God's character before I see all the steps that he's asking me to take. It's like, hey, I'm going to tithe or I'm going to serve. I'm going to give. I'm going to do the things that he's called me to do. Not because I see the, I know where it's all going to end. I know this. I know that he is good. And if he is good, then I can follow him. Generosity is at the very heart of the gospel. And this is where we'll slowly kind of wrap. It's at the very heart of the gospel. God saw your lack and he saw mine. And this is what he did. He gave. The most precious, just like when we were receiving communion together, the most precious resource on the planet. He saw your lack and mine. And he didn't just encourage us, he gave. He gave the most precious resource on the planet. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. And not only did he gave his only. So if our response back to his giving is, how can I give less? How can I give? Pastor, can I just tithe off the net and not the gross? Hey, what if a couple years ago, I was meeting with this business guy, and I told the last service, so I'll tell you guys the numbers. I wasn't going to, but I was like, nah, since it's already, cat's already out of the bag, Lynn. This guy's making $50,000 a year, and he goes, hey, pastor, can we pray together? Because I'm going to pray that I get this raise, pray that I get this raise, pray that I get this raise, and boom, boom, boom. And his company grows, and he goes from 50 to 200K a year in income in about a year. And he was a volunteering, and he was just serving. I was like, man, how many of you guys, come on, that's a good prayer. Put in your prayer request right now. Say, Jesus, do it again. But then he and I are sitting down one day, and he goes, hey, pastor, I'm having some trouble. I'm having some questions about tithing. I go, yeah, that's great, man. God's blessed you. You literally made $150,000 more. Right. And he goes, well, I get this much an hour now at this point. I did the math. I get this much an hour at this point. And I'm volunteering about 12 hours a week at church. So I'm wondering if God can take my hourly rate, apply it against the hours, count them as billable hours towards my tithe. Very transactional. It's like, that's not someone who has really encountered the gospel. Because this is what Paul says. Paul says this in Galatians 2:20. And then Alex, you can come up and I'm gonna pray here in a second. He says this, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself up for me. All of my life is his. Here's the thing. Some people, when they go to follow Jesus, they're like, Jesus, I need your forgiveness. Jesus, I need your healing. And what we start doing, we start parsing off these parts of our lives and say, Jesus, take this area, take this area, take this area. And we sometimes keep one or two areas for ourselves. That's why you need to get water baptized. All of you need to get dunked in that water. But the great reformer, Martin Luther, he said it like this. He says there's two baptisms that every believer must have. Two baptisms. And because I'm a student of the word, I'm a student of church history, I'm like, okay, tell me what those two baptisms are. It's like the baptism of faith, like of the believer themselves, and then the baptism of the purse. Some of you, your wallet needs to get redeemed. Every area of your life, if you're a follower of Jesus, and by the way, this doesn't mean perfection. It doesn't mean that you always get this right. But every area of your life is simply like this. Like you just sit with your hands open. And you're like, Jesus, all of me belongs to all of you. And I trust your character. And it just so happens that there's an invisible connection between our heart and our wallet. Some of you, you check your stock markets more than you check your Bible. And that's just simply because you've got a lot invested in it. It's real simple. And so, as someone who's doing their best to follow Jesus, we simply just want to hold our hands out like this and say, Jesus, my whole life is yours. Some of you, maybe you're a little bit afraid. It's like, wait, does this mean he's going to make me give away everything? You know, He just wants your heart. He says this, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Like, so wherever I put my money, man, my heart learns to follow that. So if I invest in my boat, my heart goes towards that. If I invest in my business, my heart goes to that. If I invest in the kingdom, my heart goes towards that. So in reality, it's not really a message about money. It's a message about heart. Like, I need my heart to belong completely to Jesus. And anywhere that I find myself fighting to keep, that's an area that needs to be redeemed. That's an area that needs to go up on the cross. That's an area that needs to be sacrificed. That's an area that I need to say, Jesus, my heart, my life, my wallet needs to belong to you. Here's what I'll end with this. The feeding of the 5,000, it's one of the few miracles that are in all four Gospels. There's only a couple miracles that are in all four. And in the feeding of the 5,000, and it's 5,000 men, so it's most likely about 10,000 people. It happened with this. They took what they had, 5 loaves, 2 fish, and they put it in Jesus' hands. What I have is not enough to accomplish what Jesus has called me to do. Some of you have got some big dreams. You want to grow your life. You want to grow your family. You want to buy a house up on the hill. You want to, you know, invest in all of these things. But what you have is not enough because it's in your hands. Only what we give to Jesus and we put in his hands, only then can it be multiplied. And so they put in Jesus' hands. He blesses it, breaks it, gives it back to them. And he says, go distribute it. And 5,000 men are fed that day on something that's not possible with them. Why? Because they trusted him. So when it comes to giving, it comes to all of that. It's not about, well, you know, what about this and what about this? It's like, do I trust the character of God? And is that area in my life submitted to him? Let me pray for you. Jesus, we want our hearts to belong to you. Really simply, we just want our hearts to belong to you. We're not after anything else other than you. And so, Lord, I'm praying today, God, that there would be some purses baptized in your holy fire. I'm praying, God, that our wallets would be redeemed. I'm praying, God, when there's areas of our heart that we keep separate from you, segregated from you, God, that you would be the very center of our lives and the center of our heart, that we would be able to echo like Paul to the Galatian church, where he says, I've been crucified with Christ, the life that I now live in faith. I live by faith in him, in his son, who saved me and gave himself for me. I want to end like this. Can you just hold out your hands in front of you? Jesus, help me. Just like hold them out like you're offering, but also like you're receiving. Jesus, help me to receive from you everything I need to receive, and help me to trust you. God, I want to trust you. God, I want to trust you. God, I know it's hard, but God, I want to trust you. Come on, you can even pray that out loud. God, I want to trust you. God, I want to trust you with every area of my heart, every area of my life. God, I want to trust you. And Jesus, I'm praying, God, for breakthrough in this city, breakthrough in this church, and breakthrough in these members. I'm praying, God, that finances will never be an issue because we are people who are after you. We're after your heart. We love you, Jesus. And Lord, I'm praying, God, that in this place, your presence will be felt because this is a place that is filled with total surrender to Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on. That's a good word. Can we just, thank Pastor West once more. Such a good word. As we close this morning, if I could just have everybody stand. Just like he said, it's not about the possession or whatever it is. It's about our heart. And God was so generous with us. Not somewhat generous, not even greatly generous, but overwhelmingly, abundantly, far beyond what we could even comprehend in our minds of how his generosity is towards us. So much so that he gave the greatest possession in all the earth, and all of history, his son. We can't even comprehend with our natural minds what God sacrificed for us. He gave his very best. His very best he gave for us. And so we should, in us, desire to do the same thing. God, you gave your very best to me. I want to give my very best to you. And it starts with a relationship. We can't even have the heart to want to do that until we receive what he first gave us, his very best. And so this morning, if you could just bow your head and close your eyes, I want to ask this morning, if you have not accepted the gift of Jesus Christ, whom the Father gave, and accepted the gift that Jesus gave, his very life, his precious blood for us, so that we could be saved, so that we could be redeemed, and so that we could know him for all eternity. If you haven't done that, or maybe at one point you did, but you know you've walked away and you want to say, Lord, forgive me. I need to know you again. I want to know that grace and your goodness once again. If that's you this morning, could you just raise your hand at me? Is there anybody like that? It says, I need Jesus. I need to give my life back to him. Anybody like that this morning? I always forget, but this is for you online as well. If you are thinking this in your heart, anybody like that here this morning though, say, I need to surrender to Jesus. I need to give to him because he first gave to me. Okay. Well, we're going to pray this anyway. There may be people online. So could you just agree with me as we pray, or you could just pray along with me. Father God, thank you for being so generous that you gave your greatest possession, your son, Jesus, for us. Jesus, thank you for being so generous. You gave your life for us to redeem us, to save us, to free us from all our sin. So Jesus, please forgive me of all my sin, all my mistakes, all my unrighteousness. And give me your power to have a heart like yours, to give all that I am to you. Help me, Lord, to not hold anything back. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. And he gave everything to us. It should be our desire to be just a heart of gratitude. And God, I want to give everything to you. If I could have the prayer team come on up, if you need prayer for anything, if you just even need prayer for, man, I'm struggling with this. I've got some things that I've been holding back from God, and I need help. I need help to surrender these areas to him. Please come get prayer along with anything else that you are dealing with this morning, whether it be physical, spiritual, financial. Please come get prayer. We're just going to finish with some worship this morning.